It's that time of the week. Our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD, joins us here on Robbie and Rexrove on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? You know, a little bout with allergies this morning, but we make it through.
Just powering through. That's why you're the best, TD. Nothing slows you down. Nothing slows you down whatsoever. So, obviously, a crushing loss for the Titans this week to lose Taylor Lewan at left tackle. As you evaluate this matchup against Pittsburgh, how big of a loss is it for the Titans specifically for this game and all the different challenges that Pittsburgh's defense creates?
Yeah, that loss is really big because that front that the Steelers have is probably the best one that the Titans will face, at least until they go see Baltimore. But not having Lewan is a big time. It's huge because that team does such a really good job of using twists and stunts and things like that. And for this to be Sambrello's first game as a starter, it's going to be tough. But I asked him about it yesterday, and he said that he and Roger Saffold are already starting to mesh. And he's clearly seen these stunts before. I mean, the guy's been in the league 6 years. And he said that, you know, you just have to trust technique. So, I mean, if he's able to do that, that should help. But when they're blitzing and you got Mike Hilton or Vince Williams coming, and, you know, you got to figure out, okay, they're going to twist with it up front, you know, in the middle. Like, there's so many things. So it's going to be tough not having the one. But I think Arthur Smith is going to do a good job of finding ways to kind of make up for the loss of their best tackle.
Yeah, so sometimes on the road at Titans games, I will get put next to TD, which is always exciting for me. At home games, we don't sit next to each other. And of course, we haven't had the road game experience this year, but sitting next to TD during a game is an awesome experience because he is, like, every play, he's breaking down the X's and O's. What's the program again you use? It's the,
next gen for the animation?
The next gen animation. Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah. And just TD's just, you know, ability to pick things out. But I got it. Excited at practice the other day, standing next to TD talking about this Arthur Smith. Like, if you're a football nerd, to me, this is a great game because Arthur Smith's plan here is going to be fascinating because he's got to do some stuff, like you said, TD. So let's put the Arthur Smith hat on you, the OC hat on you. What are some of your bullet points here that you've got to do to compensate for that loss without taking away what you're doing so well this year?
Yeah, I think one of the things that they have to incorporate this game, especially if they start to see the corners playing off, I think you need some of those one-step slants. I think you need to get screens. And you hit those screens a couple times to the receivers. And a lot of times on those screens, you run it, you know, with at least two receivers on that side, and one receiver goes and blocks the corner that is over top of the receiver that's getting the screen, the guy on the outside. So you hit that a couple times, and then you have that guy release into a wheel route, and you pump fake the screen and go over top. That's one thing that they could do. I think it's going to be a lot of just quick passing game. You're going to need that. Jonnu Smith, you know, one of the things that they could do is put him on that left side and have him weigh him into, whether it's T.J. Watt or Dupree, whoever should be on that side, wham into him to slow him down and then release to the flat. That's an opportunity to get him the ball and also have him help in the blocking game. Those are two things. I think, you know, play action is definitely going to be huge, and especially against this defense. They blitz all the time, and especially against play action, they like to have a blitz in there for that. And I think, you know, with Minka Fitzpatrick, and the way that he plays that robber, you know, he likes to drop down and come up with that crossing route, you know, pick that off like he did last week against the Browns. So you could go to that once or twice, and then over top have a post, you know, after he starts seeing it, and he'll really be inclined to come down and try to break it up. You have that post going over top. So those are some things that you could do. It's always easier to sit here and say it than right to have it executed. But I think those are some ways that they could pick at that defense.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD, Teron Davenport, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, TD, some good news for the Titans this week. Adoree Jackson back on the practice field. What do you think are the chances that he plays on Sunday against Pittsburgh? And if he does, what does that do for a defense that's been struggling so far this season with the Titans?
Yeah, I think it's likely he plays, and I think that's going to give them another person that can offer downfield coverage. And Adoree Jackson, his ball skills are really good. He's fast, so that definitely gives him something to go against Chase Claypool. But the thing that's really interesting is, this week, the Steelers, they don't go down the field as much. You know, most of it is just quick passing game. So I think whoever is out there, they're going to have to be more over top of the receivers as opposed to, you know, playing off so much. So Adoree does a good job playing up on the receivers without jamming them. His footwork is really good, so he's able to press without, you know, actually using his hands. So that'll help against that short passing game.
Yeah, so, Adoree would be certainly helpful, and not just in this game, of course, moving forward for this defense. TD, I still look at a lot of these guys on this defense who have done a lot of things in this league and can't believe it's going to be this bad the whole way. But I also look at, at some point people have got to win and get home and impact the quarterback more. So two of those guys, what do you think so far of Clowney at this point? I know he has no sacks, but I feel like he's been close for whatever that's worth a lot of times. And then Vic Beasley, who we just have not seen much of. Where are you on both of those guys at this moment?
Yeah, last week against the Texans, that's the first time I caught myself saying, I think they need to get more out of Clowney. And there weren't enough pressures. That matchup with Tunsil was, it was a battle. And Tunsil was holding his own. And I think that's something that they do need to get more from. I think Clowney, he is such a disruptive player. And you're watching the game and you know that guy can single-handedly say, look, not today. and you're just waiting to see that just because, you're just a fan of good play. And it hasn't happened. So I think there's still a lot to be desired out of Clowney. I'm not sure, how this knee situation is working out for him because it did keep him out of practice a few times. And he did practice yesterday, though. But you make no excuses. He has to get home a little bit more there. They are starting to use him in that NASCAR package where I think he's actually a better pass rusher from the interior as opposed to off the edge. So hopefully for his sake, that'll start getting him going. As far as Vic Beasley, there is some frustration there, because, again, you like to see good football. And unfortunately for him, he only played 11 snaps. The snaps need to go up a bit, unless there's something that we don't know about. But they use him in that package too, with Clowney and Simmons and Harold Landry. But you're not seeing the impact that you expect, right? Looking at his games last year, especially the last four or five games, you're like, okay, I could see what they were hoping for, because there was a lot of high effort. He got four sacks in those last games. So it's like, okay, I could see it. But the thing is, and like Shane Bowen said yesterday, the sacks come in bunches, and they do. For some reason, it's just how it works. So maybe they'll start to get on a streak. This would be a perfect week for them to start, but they do need to start getting home and bringing the quarterback down in addition to just impacting them.
TD, last thing for you here. As you look at the matchup this week for A.J. Brown and that receiving core for the Titans against the Steelers secondary, what stands out to you about that matchup specifically?
Steven Nelson. And I think that receiving core can go against him and win. and I think they could do it consistently. That's where I would – I mean, I'm not saying go away from Joe Haden. I'm not saying that at all. But I would pick on Steven Nelson. I would go his way. I think you look at the bigger receivers, you know, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown. I think if they're able to, especially on those slants, if they're able to get him out of position at the line and have him, you know, get inside of him – that'll really help them on the slants, and he'll go to tackle them, and I think they could break that tackle, especially A.J. Brown, and have a big game. So that's where I would go. I would definitely pick on Steven Nelson. That's the matchup.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. TD, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys, and I know this is Marquise's last show, so – you know, it might be time to cue up that Boys to Men. It's so hard to take.
Yes.
All right, I was gonna go Diddy, I'll Be Missing You, but you know what? We can go Boys to Men,
yeah,
too, make it a little bit sadder, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it make it seem like somebody's cutting on you.
That's right. TD, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, now, take it easy.
Yes, sir.
Bone Thugs is the one you don't want, though, right?
Yeah, Crossroads. Yeah. That means I'm dead.
No Bone Thugs.
Yeah, that means a whole different
problem.
Yeah, that means I no longer exist in, like, Earth, period.
So I can't pour one out for you today.
Yeah, you could. There's a song by Tupac called Pour Out a Little Liquor. You know, that's a Tupac song.
There you go.
You can do that. But, yeah.
But that's also for a dead person.
Yeah. Crossroads is blatantly... blatantly clear that is about, like, me being no longer here on Earth. And that's not the case.
You will live on. You will live on in our hearts either way.
That's right.
I will live on. I will still be walking, roaming the streets. It's not a ghost if you see me somewhere on, like, Demumbrian with my mask on.
Walking the Earth, getting into adventures.
Yeah, exactly.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans and Steelers. Get your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who wins this game, Titans or Steelers? Who you got? Let us know on the text line. We'll talk about that next. But first, make sure you're tuning in. ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage of the MLB World Series presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight on 102.5 The Game, catch Game 3 as the LA Dodgers face off against the Tampa Bay Rays. First pitch at 7:08. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's match day. Nashville SC takes on New England Revolution tonight at Nissan Stadium at 7:30 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:15. And speaking of the game tonight between Nashville SC and the New England Revolution, I got a four-pack of tickets to give away to caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Be caller 5, and you could win that four-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on New England Revolution tonight at Nissan Stadium. So do that now. Hit those phone lines up. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, we were talking earlier in the show about the Titans and the matchup we've talked all week about, their offense up against Pittsburgh's defense. What will they win for the Titans' offense if they're able to get the job done, win this game, move the ball to the same degree or close to the same degree that they've moved it all season long? What will that tell you about this team and this offense specifically?
Well, I think you could take it to the rest of the year and say, okay, who out there is going to have success against this offense? I don't think right now many teams will. And frankly, if the Steelers come in Sunday and the Titans just can't figure it out right after losing Lawan, and Tannehill is under siege and they stop Derrick Henry and they have a bad week, I still will personally think that they're going to get back to having a lot of success in most weeks. But I think if they do it against these guys, tell me who's going to stop them. You know, they've got the Ravens on November 22nd on the road and a lot of other games that look like pretty good matchups. Now, granted, those mighty Detroit Lions are coming to town
later
in the year.
Yes, they are.
That may be the day that I actually can separate Brennan from Lions fandom. I'm hoping that's my big plan. But they're gonna have some big days ahead. But if they can do it against these guys, it tells me that this is just a special offense, because a special offense, and I think a special OC, because if they get it done to that extent Sunday, I'm going to look at Arthur Smith and say, man, great job. And then
enjoy him while you can.
Well, yeah, and then all that stuff. I got people on the timeline yesterday like, I would much rather stay and win championships and go to the Jets, you know, because I made a joke about enjoy him Jets. You don't turn down head coaching opportunities in the NFL.
No.
I mean, has that happened? I'm sure it has.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
But not much. Like, where you're a coordinator and you get an offer to be a head coach somewhere, you take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, says the Titans win 37-30. Tannehill throws 4 touchdowns. Henry runs for 1. If the Titans offense puts up 37 points against this Steelers team, like you said, Joe, you're feeling really good about your prospects for the rest of the season and being able to move the ball, barring catastrophic injury throughout the lineup, on really anyone.
Yeah. Is that a called shot then? We giving him a called shot.
Well, I said,
on that one?
I mean, we'll hold it to the called shot part of it. It's call your shot Friday.
Yeah,
why not?
You know,
but
yeah.
We asked for predictions.
That's a very optimistic. Hey, that would be awfully impressive, you know. And it really is to me. It's so much about, can you really have full, you know, 4 quarters of running success with Derrick Henry? Can you get to the fourth quarter to where he could matter? I mean, I know that may not sound very optimistic, but to me, like, close game or you're ahead, behind, but you're in a position to still run the football. That's where you want to be if you're the Titans. You want to be able to run the football in the fourth quarter with him. So can you get there?
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ricky text in, what if we break the bank to keep Arthur Smith as OC? Is that still, as in terms of you pay him more money, you try to incentivize him to keep him here, but the other part you got to remember with Arthur Smith, I don't know how much money really matters to that guy.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
His dad, you own FedEx. I mean, I don't know how much money you're really hurting for. At
he's
that
due
point.
To inherit a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Someday. I mean, yeah. So he is not the guy that you worry about breaking the bank with. I mean, look, if we're just talking about the Jets, like if that was his only opportunity, okay. I mean, I could see someone saying, "Yeah, I'm not sure about that organization right now." But we'll see. You know, we'll see how many openings there are and what kind of opportunities they have. I have no doubt he will interview for jobs in the offseason. You know, at this point, I mean, he's being talked about so much. That stuff usually comes true when you get that much buzz around the league. But, look, he's got a good situation. There's no doubt about that. And he's got to love the personnel he's working with right now. I think he and Tannehill clearly have a great relationship / interplay in terms of game plan and everything, because it seems like he is dialing up stuff that's perfect for Tannehill.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, I'll call my shot. The last guy was close. And the score is actually going to be 43-23. Titans on top with almost 200 yards of rushing, 300 yards of passing, and 2 interceptions. So okay. a lot of stuff going on in that game.
Yeah, if anybody watched any of that game last week, Baker was running around, running for his life, and just throwing that ball into crowds, man.
Now, he throws the ball into crowds a lot. But
yeah, he does. Yeah, I'm not saying that's going to be Tannehill, but they, TD had a great breakdown of, you know, the safety playing the robber thing with Fitzpatrick and, you know, trying to hit them on that. But to hit them on that, you got to have time. You know, you got to be able to have that extra second and a half in the pocket that the Steelers make it tough to have.
Matt from Camden texts in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Josh McDaniels turned down the head coaching job at the Indianapolis Colts just a few years ago. That's good.
That's true. There you go.
There you go.
Good point.
Good example.
Yeah, it's happened. I mean, yeah, and I'm sure it's happened at other points as well. And, of course, with Josh McDaniels, part of – so I'm trying to remember then. First of all, he went to Denver, was a total disaster, came back. But obviously you're also the OC of the Patriots with Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Right.
That's one of those coordinator jobs you're like, you know, I think I might go ahead and just see how this goes from here. And who knows with Arthur Smith? I mean, I would think – I mean, most people want to be a head coach and want to be able to try to do their own thing. Some people prefer being a coordinator or a position coach. I mean, we don't know until the opportunity comes up. But I think Titans fans should – embrace the possibility that you're going to end up with this guy for 2 really good years.
On the other side of the ball, you look at the Pittsburgh offense. Roethlisberger's had a good year so far, 11 touchdowns, one pick. But they're not, you know, necessarily explosive like they used to be when they had Antonio Brown and they were throwing the ball deep pretty much every play. And Roethlisberger was dropping back and holding on to the ball as long as humanly possible. They've made some adjustments. I mean, they're getting the ball out quicker. Chase Claypool's had a great couple of weeks here. Juju Smith-Schuster's actually struggled so far from a consistency standpoint. But I do think, you know, if you're the Titans defensively, there's a chance here for you to have a better game than you've had. I mean, I would still, even with Houston struggling the way they are, I mean, Deshaun Watson is such a freak by himself when he gets hot. I'd probably still take that offense over this Pittsburgh offense. But certainly what you're always worried about with a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, when he's been struggling, is this the game he figures it out and breaks out of it? Because if that happens, Titans may be in trouble at that point.
Yeah, he's got some kind of a knee thing, so I think that's got to be part of it, right? I mean, I'm not that bad of a fantasy football drafter. No, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is – he's going to break out at some point. And then Diontae Johnson, big deal for him to be apparently back this week. And that's a guy who doesn't get – Claypool's kind of the story that, you know, this year. But when you add Johnson, you got three really scary guys on the outside.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, this game should come down to third down defense and pass rush. I feel more confident in Pittsburgh's third down defense and pass rush than I do Tennessee's. Pittsburgh 27, Titans 23.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're comparing these teams in those categories, it's not close. I mean, the Titans improved by giving up 7 of 14 on third down to the Texans. You can't get much worse than they've been on third down so far this year.
No. I mean, it's been pretty – when you have 50% and that's like, yeah,
all right. 100
percentage is going up there. That's good.
I mean –
that's not a good sign.
I'm still waiting for someone to show me ever where a team gave up 13 for 17 on third down and won by blowout.
By 26.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Probably not ever happened before. When we come back, we're going to take a deep dive into the Steelers. Ed Bouchette covers the Steelers for The Athletic. He'll join us next and break that down. That's coming up on Robbie and Rex Show. But first, make sure tomorrow you're catching the College Football Game of the Week on ESPN 94.9, presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game is an SEC matchup as Alabama travels to Knoxville to take on the Vols. Kickoff at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN 94.9. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking the big game of the weekend in the NFL, the Tennessee Titans hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Ed Bouchette from The Athletic, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ed, what's going on, man? Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Joe and Robbie. It's good to be with you.
Ed, the last time we had you on, we spent a whole lot of time talking about COVID. Thankfully, we don't have a ton to talk about on that front today. It's just a purely football discussion. So, number one, we're very thankful for that. But number two, what have you made of this Steelers team so far through five games? What stands out to you about this group there in Pittsburgh?
Well, they're pretty good. I mean, they were good on defense last year and then had the quarterback problem. So, that ruined 2019 for them. But with Roethlisberger back, they're a good team. They're balanced on offense, balanced, a good defense, can rush the passer, stop the run game. Of course, they're going to be tested again this week. But they have a nice, rounded team to them that they can beat you with their offense or their defense.
So specifically on that passing offense, Ed, how do you think Ben has played this year? How has he changed as a player? And what about the receiving core? A lot has made it Chase Claypool. And, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, has been banged up to some extent. But what about the importance of Diontae Johnson in that offense as well?
Well, they have four receivers that are all good young receivers. And I don't know that there's any – there's no Antonio Brown on this team, that a guy that's head and shoulders above everybody else. Although – Chase Claypool certainly has the talent to eventually be that guy. It's a group that at any time one can pop up and be the leading receiver. I can't sit here and tell you who that would be from week to week. Last week he went to James Washington early. Juju hasn't had a lot of stats lately, but he could be the next guy. You know, I mean, he did it 2 years ago. Chase Claypool is garnered a lot of the attention because he scored some big touchdowns and four in that one game. But really, they have a tight end. They have actually two decent tight ends, and Eric Ebron and Vance McDonald, veterans who can catch, and they like to throw to James Conner too. And the difference with Ben, he's not throwing interceptions. He's getting rid of the ball quickly, more quickly than he ever has. You know, he's always been one to hold on to it and look for the receivers and even break out of the pocket and throw. But he's been getting rid of it lightning quick. And as a result, the rush isn't getting to him.
Ed Bouchette from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Ed, switching to the other side of the ball, when you look at this Steelers defense, the pass rush they're able to generate, how good they are against the run, is there a weakness with this group that can be exploited that you've seen through the first five games?
Well, they've been getting beat a little bit, 20-yard passes and more. But I think they're trying to solve that problem by not blitzing as much. They were blitzing, and I didn't look at the stats this week. They've been blitzing more than any team in the league, but they cut back on that in their last game against the Browns, and I don't expect them to blitz as much against the Titans because of Derrick Henry. I think you'll see them just, you know, go with the four-man rush for most part. But, you know, they lost Devin Bush, so that's their big weakness coming into Tennessee. Robert Spillane, who played for the Titans, I guess, back in 2018, is now their starting one of their two starting inside linebackers.
Yeah, no, and Robert Spillane was, you know, really a great story from that camp of 2018. Ended up not being able to stick, but I was really impressed with him. You know, of course, it's preseason football. You'd take it with a grain of salt, but he was a heck of a story, a guy who maximized himself. But, yeah, how big from what you've seen of Bush and him of a drop-off is that, Ed?
Well, I haven't seen much of Spillane. We mostly saw him on special teams. He really didn't get into to play linebacker until last week when he got 30 snaps, and he was a thumper. I mean, he drilled a tight end once pretty good, and the question is, can he cover the pass the way Bush did? And Bush was so quick and fast that he was all over the field, and I'm not sure Spillane can play like that, but, you know, that's the way you go. You lose a starter, the next guy up usually isn't as good, and I'm sure Tennessee's going to find that out at left tackle this week as well.
Ed, when you brought up Juju Smith-Schuster earlier, and like you said, the stats are not quite the same, or I think what people may have expected so far in the season. What do you think is going on with Juju Smith-Schuster to cause that, and how close do you think he is to breaking out of that?
Well, you know, he got a lot of stats. I mean, he made the Pro Bowl in 2018, but that's when he was playing with Antonio Brown, and I think people felt when Brown left that Juju was automatically going to be that, you know, that one, that number one receiver. He's not a number one receiver. He's not that guy. He actually is better in the slot. So I don't think there's really anything going on. They're distributing the ball a lot around, and that's just how it's going to be now. What do you have, 6 yards in the last game? I mean, that was low, but there's really nothing going on with Juju. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see him, you know, just explode one of these days and be their top guy.
Yeah, my fantasy football team could really use that, Ed, so I'm going to hold you to that.
I even wrote fantasy football people have to hate the Steelers receivers. Yeah. You can never tell which one's going to be the guy.
It's almost like the Patriots, right? Like all those years, you're like, Brady will just give
exactly.
It to nine different people and none of them will have stats. Yeah. You know, a guy we haven't talked about much at all this week, Ed, is James Conner. Really good player. Like you said, he's good coming out of the backfield. How has he looked this year to you?
Well, you know, he's had his injury problems. He's been hurt even his Pro Bowl year in 2018. He missed the last three games with a high ankle sprain. And he was hurt last year, a couple different injuries. And this year he hurt his ankle in the opener, and you're going, oh, man, here he goes again. But he bounced back from that ankle injury with two straight 100-yard games, and he's been running hard, showing no effects of any kind of injury. I think Ben said the other day he's been running as well as he's ever seen him, although, I think 2018 was pretty darn good, too. He's mostly an inside guy, you know, but he can get outside. I think he has more speed than Le'Veon Bell did. We rarely saw him break long ones, and Connor can do that. He doesn't have great speed, but he can do that, and they like to throw to him, and, you know, he's been good doing that. So he's been a good back for them so far this year.
Ed Bouchette from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Ed, obviously Mike Tomlin, one of the longest tenure head coaches in the NFL. How do you think he's been able to adjust and remain competitive year in and year out with this franchise?
Well, he's had Ben Roethlisberger the whole time, so that's been a big help for him. You know, he's a good coach. He really has his finger on things, I think, with the modern football player, if you will. You know, I don't know that Chuck Knoll, for example, could have handled these guys, but Mike knows how to push their buttons, knows when not to push them as well, and he's just a general, overall good football coach. And at times, he's maybe not had some of the best assistants, but I think he has them now. He digs in on a defense. You know, that was even though he's a wide receiver in college, his coaching career has been as a secondary coach and defensive coordinator. So he helps out there, and I can't say enough good things about him. I really think he's a good coach.
You know, I think with all that went on with the Titans and all the disruptions, Tomlin was, you know, he had the same consistent message, you know, basically to kind of blow it off and move on. But some guys were upset. I mean, how upset were people, some of the players in that locker room around that team, you know, when they had all of a sudden you got to switch around your off week and, you know, you're expecting to play a game you've been preparing and now it's taken away from you?
Well, the problem these days is we can't get into the locker room. And,
that's right.
So, you know, we do. We miss a lot of that stuff. We only know what they say on Zoom. And a couple guys spoke out against it. So I'm sure there were some, and there were others who had taken Tomlin's message, hey, just play. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no sense getting worked up about it. You know, I think initially they weren't happy about it, but what are you going to do? That's the way it is. I mean, this whole world is a game of adjustments this year. We're all doing the adjusting, and they have to, too. It's nobody's fault. I mean, maybe Tennessee didn't do something right. I don't know, but heck, you can get the virus from your kids coming home from school, even though you're doing everything right.
And let's all agree to launch Zoom into the sun when this is all over, right?
Yeah,
enough.
This is not. Yeah, it's tough for guys like us to do that because you ask questions like that. Normally, you know, you work the locker room and you find out things that it's near impossible anymore.
Yep,
that's right. Ed Bouchette from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexard. Ed, thanks for taking time to join us. We really appreciate it and looking forward to the big game on Sunday.
I'm just disappointed we couldn't have done this on Zoom, fellas.
That's right. That's right.
Next time, man.
Next time we'll get that covered.
All right.
That's right. Thanks, Ed. We appreciate it. I'm telling you, better watch out for Zoom. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, but again, like, you know this too. It's like with the Preds, you know, in the postseason, all this stuff, man. You can go around and find stuff out. Get your own
stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah. And now it's like, hey everybody, here's a quote on Zoom. Let's all complain as media people, Robbie. Let's
That's what we do here.
That's right.
When we come back, what has made Ryan Tannehill so clutch in this Titans offense? We'll break that down next. This is Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Are you or your kid dressing up as a Nashville Predator, Tennessee Titans, or Nashville SC player, or a sports star for Halloween? Then enter the ESPN The Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest, presented by Wilson County Hyundai at thegamenashville.com for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. Just submit a picture of you or your kid in the sports costume, and you're entered for a chance to win. Contest closes on Monday, November 2nd. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Joe, you look at the Titans' offense so far. Ryan Tannehill has four game-winning drives so far this season in the fourth quarter. And it has been something that has been pretty incredible to watch, how he's come up big at the big-time moments. What do you think it is about Ryan Tannehill and the way that he either fits into this offense or the way that he's wired that's allowed him to be so clutch since he took over as starting quarterback for the Titans?
That's a good question. He's accurate. He's decisive. I think the thing that it's very stark in contrast compared to his predecessor, but I think it's also a contrast to a lot of guys in this league. It is. Think about how hard it would be to not just play quarterback in the NFL, make those throws and all that, but to stand in and step into throws and know you're going to get popped. You know, the famous play this year is the and one play.
Yeah.
You know, the touchdown pass, which is just a – but that's a fitting phrase and moment from him because he stands in there. Now, he gets good protection this year. He's gotten great protection. Last year, it was kind of more up and down, especially when he first came in the lineup. It got better and better. But whether he gets it or not, I think his ability, his courage is the thing that separates him. There are other guys, of course, who do the same thing. There are a lot of guys, even good quarterbacks in this league, who I don't think stand in and don't seem to feel the rush as he doesn't. He does not. He never sees ghosts. You know, that's again, it's a huge contrast from Mariota at the end of Mariota here because probably injuries and just bad protection. It was terrible last year. Remember at the beginning of the year without Tara Lawan. You know, I feel like Mariota was just really affected. I think Tannehill's as unaffected as anybody in this league in that way.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, the relationship that he has with Arthur Smith, and we were talking earlier in the show about Arthur Smith, they're just so on the same page that there's no second guessing going on out there. I mean, it was interesting to watch the 2-minute drive at the end of the game the other day against Houston. Because he's running right up to the line. They know what the play call is, and they're just going. Like, even when they got down to the end zone, you know, you're thinking, hey, they're going to clock it here. They're going to go up to the line and spike it. And he went right into another play to A.J. Brown, ties the game, and then they just methodically moved the ball down the field in overtime. Very rarely do you look at a throw or a decision made by Ryan Tannehill and say, hey, that was the wrong look there. I mean, it happens. It's going to happen. You're going to get confused by defenses at times, and you're just going to go the wrong place with the ball. It's not. He's not going to be perfect. But very rarely does Ryan Tannehill make a decision where you're just like, man, what in the world was he thinking right there? Like, even the other day when he threw the interception on Khalif Raymond's route, it's probably the right decision to throw the ball to Raymond. He just misplaced where he threw the ball. I mean, it's not like it was a poor decision.
Right, that was one of those plays. And that was, frankly, they thought they were going to catch him, and they didn't. And it, had they caught him where he threw it, is a touchdown. And, of course, he said after the game, you know, I should have thrown that short, let him run under it. You know, the play still would have been made in man. But, yeah, that was not a bad decision. The Patriots pick last year was a bad decision. And, actually, I thought, like, there's the play. They open the door to the Patriots. But then what does he do? He bounces back from that, makes a couple huge throws to move the chains late in the game. So – he's been terrific. We actually, I just saw this. I didn't even know this was coming. Robert Mays for us, who does our NFL podcast, he has a piece on Tannehill today. It's worth checking out at The Athletic. And he's got some interesting stats in here. You know, 31-year-old EPA, expected points added. That's a big advanced stat people like to, use on NFL players. Tannehill has an adjusted yards per attempt of 10.18. I know.
It comes up with all
you love
stuff.
This stuff. But it's the best ever for someone 31 or older. And, of course, you know, in the traditional stats, again, let's repeat this, 15 starts right now. Okay, so he's going to have – this game will be his full season as the Titans starter, right?
Right.
Not kind of playoffs, but right now those 15 games, 70.2%. 8.96 yards per attempt, 41-12 yardage, 35 touchdowns, 8 picks. That is absolutely an MVP of the NFL.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's – and, again, we keep asking the question, like, we've heard some audio earlier this week from Keyshawn Johnson, and it's not just him, all these different people around the league, and they're like, you know, Ryan Tannehill, and they turn around, they hand the ball off to Derrick Henry all the time, and when Tannehill needs to make a throw or two, that's what he does. But basically, the Titans just run the ball. I'm like, no, nah, man. It's not how it goes.
Yeah.
It's a very symbiotic relationship. That's how I like to phrase it.
That's a
symbiotic.
Very nice word. Very nice word.
For.
And, yeah, it's look, of course Derrick Henry and this piece and every – look, you can't write about Tannehill and his success and not mention that, hey, helps to have Derrick Henry, and golly, play action seems pretty good when you have Derrick Henry, right? Of course. Of course they help each other, and he feeds off that. But he's also had – how many times this year where Derrick Henry, I mean, isn't on the field because they're in, you know, they're in hurry up and he's.
Or it's third and 19.
Right.
Yeah.
He's spraying the ball over the field. It's just too, it's simplistic. And, you know, if you really want to get into, if we get later in the year and this team is doing this well and they're both still being talked about for MVP, then yeah, they probably hurt each other. But how fun is that to even think that, you know? It's pretty ridiculous.
Well, I'm just trying to, like, the last time. If you're a Titans fan, that you had the feeling that no matter what was going on in the game, that you were never out of it because your quarterback was the man. And I don't – look, I know Marcus had his moments. I don't really think anybody ever truly felt like the Titans were never out of a game with Marcus as the quarterback. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
maybe,
you know,
some people did.
Well, let me jump in real quick on that. You know the difference, though, is that a lot of those teams, when they were pretty good, their defense was keeping teams to 23.
Yeah.
So the offense was ugly, and he would have a lot of late drives. I mean, he would. He had a lot of game winning. I think he had five of them in 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, but it was different because, like, you were not going to get out of a game because of your defense, too.
Yeah.
And that's different now. But anyway, go ahead.
But, like, you know, just putting a team on your shoulders and taking them down the field, like, I'm trying to figure out when the last Titans quarterback that would be. Maybe, like, really early Vince Young.
I was going to ask, like, you if you thought so.
Really early Vince Young. He just, at times, did a lot of things that were really special out there. And then, you know, he had some problems here, and teams figured him out what he was doing, and that went away for a while. But Vince Young's rookie year, early into his second year, there was that feeling of, okay, this guy's going to go out there and win the game. I mean, the drive he had against Arizona, the run he had in overtime against Houston. I mean, there were a lot of moments Vince Young had where you're just like, wow, look at this guy play. It's probably been since then from a Titans quarterback, at least in my view.
Right. Yeah, I mean – And I don't know. I mean, Kerry Collins, they went 10-0.
I mean, he was good, but yeah, like.
But he was. I think Kerry Collins was what some people still think Tannehill is. Like,
I agree.
Quote unquote game manager. Tannehill was asked, like, what is a game manager? I forget who asked him yesterday, and he was just like, yeah, I don't know, just trying to win football games.
Yeah.
You know, basically. But that's what Kerry Collins was. That's not what Ryan Tannehill is. That, yeah, I've always had that debate with people on, like, which quarterbacks are our game managers and which quarterbacks are our playmakers. I mean, first of all, you got to do both, really, to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're putting him in one of those two categories, he's a playmaker.
I would agree 100%. And it's just amazing when you look at this offense right now, the level in which he's playing. And I think, you know, we talked about it in the offseason. You expected some sort of regression this year. Whether, you know, the numbers he put up last year were just insane when he was a starting quarterback. I think his yards per attempt is a little bit down, but it ain't down that much. Like, it's... There's not much regression going on right now with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, 9-6 is not going to happen again.
No.
It's insane. I mean, insane. But, in fact, I don't know exactly what it is now, but I think it's high sevens, which is
still pretty good.
Outstanding. And, again, over that 15, you're talking 8-9-6. So, I mean, it's an MVP season if it was one season. Now, of course, game 16, going to be a tough one.
It is. Absolutely. A defense that they probably haven't seen at least since the Baltimore game last year, but I'd probably even put this Steelers defense maybe slightly ahead of that one. So going to be interested to see, without Taylor Lewan, how the Titans respond against that defense in Pittsburgh. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Vols. Our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic will join us. That's coming up next on Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.